Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. So good to see Lori and Mark back, even though the weather is still hot down here. We'd love to see you here, down here. And I welcome all of you and pray that we will all listen to the voice of God speaking to us in many different ways. God speak to us through His Word, the Holy Scripture. God speak to us through the fellowship of the saints, and God speak to us through the Holy Spirit. God has many different ways to speak to us, and we pray together that as we worship, we will have a close and intimate fellowship with God and be able to listen to God's voice. A young married couple spending a week at a famous spa had nothing but bad luck. And on the sixth day, they were down to their last $2 and a ticket to the local racetrack. "Let me go out there alone today," said the young man. "I've got a hunch." He picked a 40-1 shot in the first race and won. Every succeeding race was won by a long shot on which he had a bet. At the end of the afternoon, he had amassed more than $10,000. On his way back to hotel, he stopped off at one of the gambling casinos to cash in further on his good luck. Within an hour, he had run his bankroll up to a neat $40,000 at roulette. On the point of leaving, he had a new hunch, and the entire $40,000 went on black. The ball bounced, rolled, and settled. The croupier called, "Red." The young man made his way back to his hotel room, sat down, looking a bit discouraged. His wife asked, "How did you make out?" He nonchalantly replied, "I lost $2. A wrong decision at the wrong timing causes a loss of finances and, in many cases, can alter the course of life. And, you know, that's what's going on in the stock market. You invest on right timing, and if you don't, then you can lose a lot. Abram and Sarai, I'm going to use the name Abram and Sarai because those are the names that they use until right before they had the son Isaac. And then their name was changed right before then because God made Abram the father of many nations, which Abraham means, and then the Sarah's name was changed accordingly as well. Abram and Sarai could not wait for God's time to fulfill his promise, made an unwise decision based on human wisdom, and created conflict in their families. The conflict between the descendant of Ishmael and Isaac has not stopped ever since. It has become a global dispute today, and there seems to be no easy solution to the conflict. This morning, we will reflect upon God's timing in our lives, and what happens when we impatiently make decisions based on human wisdom instead of waiting for God's timing. Let's begin with the God's covenant making with Abram in Genesis 15. Abram lived in Ur of Chaldeans, that is in Mesopotamia. He was 75 years old when God called him and led him to Canaan. He was around 85 years old and still had no children. He was thinking about making his servant Eliezer his heir. God appeared to Abram in a vision and promised a son, and his offspring would become as many as stars in the sky. Abram believed in God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. I'm sure that Abram shared God's promise with Sarai. However, Abram and Sarai became impatient only 1 year later. So in chapter 15, God made a covenant with Abram, right? And promised the son. In chapter 16, only a chapter later, that is 1 year later, Sarai suggested that Abram have a child through her maid, Hagar. Hagar became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and Abram named his son Ishmael, which means God hears. Now, there is a noteworthy aspect to the name Ishmael. Did God hear Abram and Sarai's wish and give Ishmael to them? Ishmael means God hears, right? No, God did not. Abram and Sarai devised a plan to have Ishmael. So Abram's calling his son Ishmael was not quite fitting. And the name discloses Abram's hidden motive to justify his action. The chapter 16 records two instances of naming Hagar's son Ishmael. The first by the angel, and the second by Abraham. The angel appeared to Hagar when she was kicked out of Abraham's house and told her to name her son Ishmael. According to the angel, Ishmael refers to God hearing Hagar's misery. Hagar gave birth to a son, and Abraham also named him Ishmael. In this second instance, Ishmael sounded like God heard Abram and Sarai. Abram unquestionably wanted Ishmael to fulfill God's promise. But God had a different plan to give a son of the promise later on God's timetable. Now, you might not have paid attention to Genesis 21:2. God set a time for the birth of Isaac. That's what the verse 21:2 says. And in King James translation, it uses the phrases at the set time, and in New International Version, it says at the very time. From the messianic perspective, a specific time set for the birth of Isaac is a prophecy that God prearranged the time for the birth of the Messiah, God's promised son. God operates according to his timetable, which perfectly serves God's purpose. So God has a time set for the birth of Isaac, but Abram and Sarai went ahead with their plan. Sarai's suggestion and Abram's agreement to it had good intentions. God already told them that they would have a son, so having a child through Hagar did not seem out of line. But they never, in their wildest dreams, expected that their decision was flawed and disastrous. Soon after Hagar became pregnant, Hagar despised Sarai, and Sarai did not tolerate her contempt and send her away. The angel told Hagar to go back, which she did. When Ishmael turned 13, Sarai miraculously became pregnant. After Sarai gave birth to Isaac, Hagar and Ishmael could no longer reside in Abraham's house, tragically splitting the blood brothers and their descendants. Muslims recognize Abraham and they call it Ibrahim, and you may have heard a lot of Ibrahim. That's a popular name among Muslims, right? They recognize Abraham as the father of both the Arab and Jewish people through Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. But they have always been on hostile terms with Jews. The perpetual conflict between Abraham's descendants has become so intertwined that any solution seems impossible. The Israel and Hamas war today proves this. The United Nations Security Council and the United States won a ceasefire on the Israel-Hamas war. Over 12,000 demonstrations, that's all over Israel, won a ceasefire on Israel-Hamas war. However, so many factors are entangled together that the war will not have an easy ending. The demonstrators say that the war helped Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu avoid corrupt charges. In November 2019, Netanyahu was officially indicted for breach of trust, accepting bribes, and fraud. But Netanyahu wants to continue the war until all the hostages are rescued, and the true motive of Netanyahu is in question. As of September 1, 101 out of 251 hostages remained in captivity in the Gaza Strip. Israel fights on three fronts: Hamas in Gaza Strip, Iran, which trained the Hamas terrorists and financed their activities, and the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, funded by Iran. Now, a new tension arises between Egypt and Israel as the Israel-Hamas war prolongs. So you can tell the Iranian government is the, in a way, major force between the war between Israel and Hamas war, because they funded the and trained the Hamas, and they are themselves are very hostile toward Israel, and then Iran also funded the Hezbollah group as well. Now, Iran belongs to the Shia Muslims and the rest of the Arab leagues to Sunni. And Shia Muslims is only at 10%, and then Sunni Muslims is about 90%, right? Those two branches do not get along with each other. If they weren't divided, if they get along with each other, the conflict right now would have been much worse than it is today. So there is no easy solution. Even the United States, the superpower of the world, cannot do much about the situation. This complex problem is traced back to Abraham and Sarai, who did not follow God's timetable and devise the plan based on human wisdom. How about us? Do we know God's timetable for us? We do not. Not knowing God's timetable could be frustrating, but God's timetable does not belong to our realm of understanding. Consider Jesus' first and second coming. The birth of the Messiah was prophesied throughout the Old Testament, including his birthplace, his race, the virgin birth, and the time of his birth. Daniel prophesied the exact timing of Messiah's birth during the Roman period. Despite all these prophecies, the entire world did not recognize the Messiah when he was born. How about his second coming? It too was prophesied throughout the Old and New Testament. Jesus himself spoke about it 21 times in the Gospel. We all know and believe that Jesus will return to this earth, but do not know the timing. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the time, what dates the Father has set by his own authority." In Matthew 24, Jesus said about the timing of his coming, "About the day or hour, no one knows, or even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." No human knows God's timing, nor does he or she have control over it. Timing belongs to God alone. So what should we do to avoid repeating Abram and Sarai's mistake? We need to be patient and wait for God's timing. We do not have to hurry, because God never comes late. Trusting in and obeying God is a wise way of Christian living. It helped us be synchronized to God's perfect timetable. And let me illustrate what it means to be synchronized to God's timetable. In his sermon, "Why Christ Had to Die," author and pastor Stuart Briscoe says, "Many years ago, when the children were small, we went for a little drive in a lovely English countryside, and there was some fresh snow. I saw a lovely field with not a single blemish on the virgin snow. I stopped the car, vaulted over the gate, and ran around in a big circle, striding as wide as I could. Then I came back to the kids, and I said, 'Now, children, I want you to follow in my footsteps. So I want you to run around that circle in the snow, and I want you to put your feet where your father put his feet.' Well, David tried and couldn't quite make it. Judy, our overachiever, was certain she would make it. She couldn't. Pete, the little kid, took a great run at it. He put his foot in my first footprint and then strode out as far as he could and fell on his face. I said, 'Pete, come here.' I picked up little Peter and put his left foot on my foot, and I put his right foot on my foot. I said, 'Okay, Pete, let's go.' I began to stride one big stride at a time with my hands under his armpits and his feet lightly on mine." Well, who was doing it? In a sense, he was doing it because I was doing it. In a sense, the little boy was committed to the big dad, and some of the properties of the big dad were walking through the little boy. And this is how we should walk with the Lord in perfect synchronization. I'm sure you have learned, and I have learned, Our life is a long waiting game. No question about that. Wait upon and wait for God. God shows us the way and takes the step. Then we put our foot where God's foot is, always following God's lead patiently, because we don't know the God's table, God's timetable. God sees our beginning and the end and has mapped out our entire journey. Following God's timetable is the best way of living for the best life. Amen.